Welcome to the Adventist Music Podcast. This is a show that shares the stories of Seventh-day Adventist musicians from around the world. I'm your host, Khan Elmers, a music lover and podcast producer. Adventist Waves has become Adventist Music. And to celebrate, I am going back to one of the first episodes that I had produced with Linus Wee. This episode is a throwback to an episode I had recorded in early 2024. For those who don't know, Linus is the producer, main producer at Loud Voice. And you're going to hear his song, The Mission, and how he went about creating that song. He's got a fascinating story, so enjoy the episode. Before we begin, though, make sure that you follow us on Instagram and give us a donation on Buy Me a Coffee. Thanks for your support. It helps to cover the costs of producing this podcast. Now on to today's episode with Linus Wee. Linus, thank you for joining me on this podcast edition of Adventist Waves.
Welcome. Thank you.
I'm glad that we were able to come to Loud Voice itself over here in Malaysia and actually sit down and talk to each other. This has been a really good experience.
It's our pleasure.
Yeah. Yeah. So we've discussed a bit already before, but audio engineering has quite a important part to play in Adventist music, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely.
And the Adventist world itself. Yeah. If it wasn't for audio engineers, the content that is currently out there in the Adventist world just wouldn't be possible. And so hence why it's really important that engineers, the voices of engineers is heard, that there's a place where people can discuss and collaborate on ideas in the Adventist ecosystem as a whole. My work at Blue Vineyard is as a director of audio. We're trying to build like a network of professionals, of Adventist professionals, especially in the area of audio, so then we can have, you know, a worldwide network that musicians can feed into, audio engineers can find work from, and basically to be self-sustaining. And that's kind of my vision for our department. And part of that, Linus, is this podcast on Adventist Waves, where we are discussing about the creative works of different professionals. And like yourself as an audio engineer, you find yourself in this world, in this ecosystem, so to say, in your ministry of Loud Voice. Do you mind just kind of giving us a bit of a background of your work here at Loud Voice? A bit of a background, a bit of an idea of like your day-to-day work here. What does it look like?
Okay, so for me to be able to tell you about my work, I need to first tell you a bit about Loud Voice and what we are doing. So previously, Loud Voice, we started out as a ministry, and we really wanted to create this platform very similar to what your ministry is doing, to have producers that come in, speakers, musicians, podcasters, and to be able to network with people. And that was why we created this app called Loud Voice, that anyone can upload their content on our Loud Voice. And through uploading, they can discover that, oh, you know, there's this speaker or there's this musician that I really can connect to their type of music. I might want them, let's say an evangelist goes on Loud Voice and they say, oh, I really want them to be at a particular evangelistic crusade that I'm on. So that's where they can link together with them. So however, COVID hit and the app did not, it took a downturn. We could not develop it in time. So in our time of idleness, we decided that, okay, what could we do? So then we decided to launch a YouTube channel called Loud Voice. And for us to be able to get on YouTube's algorithm and to, you know, really push the channel further, we said we needed to create a music video every week. So that was what we started on, a music video every week. And then, so basically I will create, so now we can get into, and that has actually, since about 2.5 years ago until today, that's what we are doing, a music video every week. At first, we were it was crunch time for us. You know, we were thinking, okay, after we push out the channel, once we more or less get like a certain amount of subscribers, then, you know, we'll relax and then we will take things a bit slower, focus on what else we need to do. But that time never came. We kept pushing up. And until today, it's still one music video a week. So coming to my work, what I do every day on a daily basis is there will be a production schedule that we will have a set of planners that will decide, okay, this week we will release this song, this week we release this song, this week we release this song. And based on that schedule, then I would be preparing either the... it's a mixture of either preparing the demo for it, because we'll have singers come in and then they'll need to record to a particular demo. So either I'll be creating a demo for it, or I will be recording people, or I will be editing either the tracks or their voices, or I will be doing arrangements, or I will be filming. Because here at where we are here at Anan, we do have people that can sing, but not everybody is always available. So usually those that get thrown into a music video are our staffs over here. Myself with a few others, even there are some staffs that they would say that they have no capability in singing, they'll get thrown in the music video and they'll have to be up on the screen filming and this and that. So yeah, basically that's a good mixture of what I do every day. So either creating demos, recording voices, editing everything, like doing mixing or doing arrangements or filming. On top of that, of course, we have like our usual routine, like cleaning the studio, leadership meetings, meeting with other collaborators. Yeah, that's a good mix of what I'm doing every day.
So let's step back, Linus, and just discover a bit more about your story and how you came to the work that you're currently doing. Can you tell me a bit about your early background as a young man growing up? Where did you grow up? What were you doing at that time?
How back do you want it to go?
As soon as you started your musical journey, you know.
Okay, so way back when I was, I think, five years old, my mom discovered that I had some talent in playing the piano, because apparently I have a sister. She was the one that started to play the piano first, went for lessons. But I was a younger, mischievous brother. I started to disturb her while she was practicing. And then for some reason or another, she stopped lessons. And there was one time where she stopped practicing, but my mom still heard the same piece being played. So it turned out that I was playing that piece that I just heard while I was disturbing my sister. So she was like, this guy has some talent in music. Let's send him to music class. So I attended Yamaha Music for, I think, 10 years. 2 years of like fundamentals, and then I went into their special advanced course and their senior special advanced course. So within the special advanced course, they teach you like not only Yamaha grades, like the ABRSM grades from grade 1 to grade 8, which I did not do well at all. Normally, people will have to do like grade 1, and then like sometimes they might even start like grade 5, then skip to grade 7, grade 8. I went through every single grade. And then normally people will be like, in the earlier grades, like distinction. The most I had was merit, and then the last few grades I had was like pass. I was telling others that the examiners probably just saw me, oh, this person is probably you know, like he got dragged into it. Let's just give him some sympathy marks. Okay, Lach, just pass it. So, yeah. But then the other thing that Yamaha teaches is actually improvisation, which I really loved. Like one of the practices that I know that they'll give you is like, I'll play a motif, and then like just two bars of a melody, and then with that you need to create an entire song. So that was something that they really trained me on, and that really helped me in playing piano in church. So from 5 to 15, that was when I was in Yamaha. I absolutely hated the classical side. I know that Christian really loved the classical side, but I absolutely hated scales, sight reading, practicing. Absolutely hated it. Was forced to do it, got scolded a lot because of it, because of not doing it. But then somehow I got a sympathy pass. But then I really enjoyed playing in church, like playing, accompanying people that are like song leaders, like song services, that kind of thing. So how I got started in music in church was because when I was in like, you know, they have like their children primary class. Then there was one time where either my mom told the pianist for the children class that asked Linus to play piano, you know, that kind of thing. So she's the assertive type and you wouldn't want to anger her, that kind of thing. So she's like, oh, Linus, play the piano. And I was just thrown in, and somehow, because I already knew the song and I was already like playing at home, this and that, I could accompany around. So then that was when I started playing for children class week after week after week. Mm. And I was 10. When I was, the youth class was, you needed to be like 14 or 15 or 12 or 13 to enter the youth class. But because I already had like a few years from 6 to 10 playing in the children class, they promoted me to youth class early so that I could play for the youth also. And one thing I realized, like how it impacted my faith was, you know, sometimes when youths go to church, and the reason why they either lose interest in church or why they just, you know, church is not for me, is because they have not learned to serve. Mm-hmm. And I realized a very important, like the literal enemy of selfishness is service. So because I've already had the spirit of serving, even though I was forced at the start, but because I enjoyed playing, right? And it was a great alternative to practicing piano at home. So I really enjoyed playing in church. And so it fueled in me the spirit of service. So whenever, like even now, Linus, can you accompany me on this? Sure. And I would willingly do it. It wasn't like, can't you try somebody else, that kind of thing. Even at last minute, if they can't find a accompanist, Linus, are you able to help me play for this? Sure, you know, that kind of thing. So the spirit of service has already been like, it's my nurturing, or it's already built up. It has already been in me since I was young. So it naturally led to playing for youth service and then playing for church and even until today. So I recall my earlier years playing the piano, and I'm always at the piano. Yeah, but it's always been not something that I drag my feet up to, but I bounce up to the piano and play. So I guess that's really the secret ingredient that has kept me faithful. Even though certain times where I have not been even faithful in my spiritual life, but because I've always been serving in church, it has always kept me in the church. Something like that.
How are you create your final product then, if you don't mind sharing? Is there anything that you would consider to be like your signature sound, and how do you go about developing that?
You know, I've heard people tell me this. Oh, I listened to that. I know it's from you. But I've actually never really understood what, like, I've never scientifically like crafted out, this is Linus' sound, you know. But like even in my car, if you were to listen to my playlist, it's all my music. Because I don't know if it makes sense, but I only play the type of music that I enjoy listening to. And if like I would listen to somebody else's song once, and then I'm like, oh, okay, it's nice. Or it might be even be like very nice, but I wouldn't listen to it again for a while. Mm. Whereas for my song, normally for my arrangements, I would play, I would arrange it, but then the feeling of wanting to listen more is always there after I finish listening to it. So it's like after I like the song brings me on a journey, but when the song ends, somehow it feels that I want more, that kind of thing. That's why I listen to it again, and then at the end I say, I want more. But I'm not sure if that is classified as like a signature sound. But then, you know, there are certain chefs that they linking to food again. There are certain chefs that they cook at a restaurant and then they come back and then they don't cook anymore because I'm already so tired of. Yeah. But then for me, I cook because I like to eat the food that I cook. So at home, I will cook the food and eat it again, that kind of thing. And I wouldn't enjoy other people's food as much as I enjoy my own food. So the music that I create is the music that I like and the music that I listen to. So even if you, like, people have asked me, what if Loud Voice, you know, no money or whatever and closes down one day, will you stop making music? I was like, no, because I would still continue making my own music because that is what I like listening to. Something like that. Maybe that has then, maybe you could say, oh, the chord arrangement, the chord progressions, the styles of music, this and that. But to me, it's my signature sound because it's music that I like listening to. It just happens to be that kind of music.
Do you ever find yourself having like a creative blocks at times?
On the contrary, sometimes my own music inspires me even more. Like, for example, if let's say I play the piano part and then after that I layer on either with a guitar or strings, that music, you know, sometimes like when you let's say you play in a group and then somehow you feel that you are able to play better because their music makes you like, wow, you know, you really get into the mood and then you can sing better. That is how my music affects me. So especially with like big arrangements and then I feel like, wow, I'm really enjoying what I'm arranging. Yeah, so because of that, then I'm able to like, it makes my creative juices flow even more. Not so much that I get a creative block. Yeah, something like that.
So you're just developing your ideas helps you to get it, get the full arrangement.
Yeah. So like my past self motivates my current self and I play in a way that will motivate my future self. Something like that. Yeah.
Wow, that's beautiful. Consider yourself to be an engineer.
Musician, yeah.
But in your job as an arranger, a musician, as an engineer here at Loud Voice, is there any practical applications, any projects that you have worked on that showcase your artistic abilities? And maybe you can give two or three different examples.
Okay. I can't think about any off my mind, but yeah, the other song that I want to highlight is the song The Mission, because we then talk about like the different aspects of instrumentation, right? So there's the piano, there's the, you know, orchestra, there's the strings, there's the woodwinds, there's the percussion. And one aspect that I feel the type of music that I have that is might be a bit different from conventional Adventist music is that I sometimes use synthesizers. Like we have various types of, like synthesizers is like there are soundscapes, there are arpeggios, there are...
I was going to say, can you explain what a synthesizer is for those people out there who do not know what a synthesizer is?
Not an actual instrument.
It's like a tone generator.
Yeah, it's like a tone generator that gets modeled through different types of filters that creates different textures and that kind of thing. I don't really go too much into like the actual synth thing. I just use like a particular plugin from Logic, and I just they have whole list of instruments that I just go one by one and I try, oh, is this sounds nice, that sounds good, or this one fits over here, and then I just add it to the entire song. So one example was actually this song, The Mission. There's this line that says, as aliens and strangers, I think upon this foreign land in this foreign land. And the lyrics actually, the lyrics gave me an, I mean, of course there's the usual piano and strings and bass over there, but it gave me an inspiration. Why don't I find something related to like, you know, alien sound? Yeah, that of course, you know, we are not like the aliens like E.T. or that kind of thing. But it somehow has a representation that is not something that is that we are not of this world. So I literally went to the synth engine and I searched alien. And then one by one I listened, and then oh, there was this part that it created that kind of interesting effect. And I thought, oh, this would be very nice to place over here. Thank you.
there's a call going out across the learning information. A call to those who swear allegiance to the cross of Christ. A call to true humility, to live our lives responsibly, to give our devotion to the cross at any price. Let us bring peace over, moving only in the Spirit, as aliens and strangers in a hostile foreign land.
Throughout the entire song, you can hear that there are certain elements of synths that they are not very prominent, but they just add to the entire effect. And it's not something that to me, it wouldn't be something that like I placed in there as an afterthought, but it was carefully considered and placed in there to create an entire experience that, you know, that the music actually reflects something that the lyrics will talk about and that kind of thing. An example that using the lyrics of a song, the lyrics is one medium, but actually the music that goes with the lyrics can also help to enhance the entire experience of the song as well. Yeah.
So you use the lyrics to kind of get inspiration for your design, your arrangements and things like that as well.
Yeah.
So that's really cool. So important, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
So is there anything that you would like to encourage people who are looking to get into any type of Adventist media? Do you have any words of encouragement for them?
Just now we were just talking about how, like we were talking about if like you, after you finish your your high school or college, you know, you can choose the your career, right? Then we're talking, normally there's like the IT route that you can go for IT degree, or like electrical engineering or mechanical engineering, or you can do accountancy, or you can do law or medicine. But you don't often see that, oh, I'd like to do sound engineering. It's not something that, it's usually, sound engineering usually like, it's like a afterthought. Like after you had your actual job, then you say, oh, it's something nice that I like to do, so I go and learn sound engineering.
Yeah, like I think of sound engineering as more of like a way for me to give my, to do publishing, share the message of Three Angels, which is my purpose, my calling as a Christian, is to be able to share my faith. So I consider that to be kind of part of that. And then I have another job, for example, I did my carpentry study, I did my pastoral degree. That's kind of like what you're talking about.
Yeah, so like most sound engineers that I know or I've talked with, they have like their actual job. Like I did their doctors, then their interest, then they built their own studio because they have earned some money.
Yeah.
Or is that they already have some experience either in church or whatever, with like live sound, when they were already working on their jobs, and then they realized that, hey, this is more interesting, then they choose to go with that career. So it's not every day that, I mean, there is no natural career progression for a student to go from high school to college to sound engineering, which I'm not sure why. Maybe it's like, because maybe you need to either have a particular interest or like this morning we were doing mixing. It's hard work. Sometimes it is a bit tedious, especially, you know, if somebody gives you tracks that are all over the place, it's hard to get everything organized. And sometimes it can be boring. It can be draining. Like imagine you exporting one track after another, and there are 100 tracks for you. You must do it one after another. But then, you know, the thing that drives me is the end product, that like the hard work that we put in now, we are able to see where it ends up. And we always tell ourselves that it will get better, it will get better. And usually if we follow things in a sequence, it does get better. That's where we get that is how like mixing, there's always a sequence for it, right? As compared to if you just do everything and just try to do anything, you might not get there. Yeah. So it's very true. Especially if let's say you do have a particular interest, like sometimes when I go for conferences, then I meet like musicians or pianists, then I'll always ask them this question: have you thought of doing digital music? Normally the first response is, what is that? Yeah. So then I'll show them like our Loud Voice channel or this and that, and then they'll be like, oh, you can do such things. So a lot of times people don't realize that the interest is there, but then they always think that, oh, I need to go to a recording studio, or I need to invest in a lot of gear, or I don't have the talent to do that. That might be true back in the 80s or 90s, but now you can get a mic, audio interface, a set of headphones for like maybe less than 300 USD, something like that. And then if you're talking about, oh, I don't have the vocal prowess to pull off a solo, spoiler alert, there are lots of vocal processing techniques that you can do to help yourself sound nicer in a song. But then I think if you are already a musician that you are able to accompany somebody, they're almost, and if you do have an interest towards like sharing your music online, there's almost no excuse for you not to go into this kind of music production, because like based on the tracks that we heard, like The Mission, Christmas Bucket List, I was just telling kind of that I'm actually a one-man choir, a one-man orchestra, a one-man band or whatever kind of thing, that everything is all just done by myself. And it just so happened that other people, we managed to collaborate with other people that could sing as well. So there's really so much more that can be done. And as long as you have the interest, and they are really like, nobody, I wouldn't say nobody, but it's very hard to, the excuse for, there's no course for me to enroll to learn this. That excuse doesn't work anymore, because with YouTube, you can learn so many things, right?
YouTube is available. You can just check out and learn all the skills from there.
And even now today, I'm still learning from YouTube. I'm subscribing to like various mix engineers, their channels, and learning from there. And there's really so much to learn from. All we need really is that desire and that interest to want to do it.
Hmm.
Yeah. So if you already have that interest and that desire to want to do it, there's so much resources for you to learn from. Or you can reach out to us. We can also very much, we would be thrilled to help you along your way as well.
That's right. Yeah. How can our audience get in touch with you?
Do a little plug. So Loud Voice, we are a YouTube channel so you can reach out to us through our YouTube channel, or like in Facebook we've got the Loud Voice. You can just search Loud Voice together, and then, or you can email us at support@loudvoice.com, and then that the email will literally just pop up in my phone and you can just directly get in touch with me that way. And you could also say like, I heard the podcast and I've got this interest. Where do I start? And then we could just get started like that already.
Great.
Yeah.
Great. Yeah. One thing that I'm trying to encourage people to do with the podcast is that if they have any content, say like if they're releasing a new video on Loud Voice or if they're releasing a new video on whatever channel that they're on, if they tag Adventurous Waves on it, on their reels, then we can actually post that on into our Instagram channel. So then other people can also see your work as well. So thank you so much for coming on the podcast. Welcome.
Thank you for coming here.
Linus, anytime.
Is this your first face-to-face podcast?
On this podcast, my first face-to-face. Yeah, so yeah. I really enjoy it because it's much more engaging.
Yeah.
And you can actually feel the conversation, not necessarily just hear it.
So. Yeah.
Of course, because I'm feeling the work here. So yeah. I really appreciate your skill and the work that you're doing here. So cool. Thanks for listening to this episode of Adventist Music. It was produced by me, Khan Elmers. A huge thanks to Linus Wee once again for coming on the show, and shout out to those guys at Loud Voice. I know they do a ton of work over there. Would love to stay in touch with you on social media. If you're a musician, tag us on your reels. We'd love to share them on Instagram. And give me a message on your socials. I'd love to talk with you. Adventist Music is a podcast that highlights the unique stories of Adventist musicians. We are listener supported, and you can give today to help us continue making these episodes for the community. Make sure you're listening in on the next episode of Adventist Music.